Thank you for tuning in to Palau Way Radio. Our next program is Brother Steve's sermon.
Ali! I'm Brother Steve Mapes Taywid here on Palau Wave Radio. My friends, my brothers and sisters in Baylau, or wherever you may be, I just pray this day and this week that God would richly bless you. Adubaklo bungamu. Adubaklo bungamu. I am so very pleased and thankful to be able to share with you the Word of God today, my friends, the encouraging Word of God. And we're going to be heavily into the New Testament today, talking about something that's vitally important, my friends. We're going to be talking about love today, my friends. We're going to be talking about love. And it was Valentine's this past week, and so people are thinking about special loved ones. People are thinking about love and Valentine's. And so I thought this is a good time to talk about love. And I heard a great message from Rick Warren in his series 40 Days of Love, and I want to share many points from that. So today's message is called, It's All About Love. It's all about love, my friends. And that's what we're going to be talking about today here on Palau Wave Radio, and I just pray that this message is going to be a blessing to your day and a blessing to your life. And so before we jump into the message, It's All About Love, I want to share with you some power promises, my friends. And power promises are from the Bible, and they are verses that the Lord has laid on my heart. And every single morning, I encourage you, as I encourage myself, every single day, every single morning, we need to start our day by getting the Word of God into us. You know, we let the day just start slipping by, and then it seems like things can rapidly go from bad to worse when we don't have our priorities straight. So we start our day off right, get on our knees, thank God for His many blessings. I keep a gratitude journal, write down 5 things that I'm thankful for every morning. You know, just jot down some of these things, and it just keeps me in an attitude of gratitude. And I read my Bible promises, and I encourage you, if you don't know what Bible verses to read, get the YouVersion Bible app. Get the YouVersion Bible app, and there's a verse of the day, and they're good ones. So, here's some Bible verses for you for the day to jumpstart your day. The first one, I was just so thankful the Lord just provided it. Talked about how we had the Celebrate Life rally at Urangul Park on January 31st, and what a blessing that was. And I read one chapter of Proverbs every day. On the 31st day, I read Proverbs 31. On the first day, I read Proverbs, you know, chapter 1, whatever day it is. And anyway, and when we did the Celebrate Life rally, this is the verse that God gave for Proverbs 31, and thinking about protecting those that are innocent, the unborn. And it's just awesome that God provided that day. On January 31st, He provided Proverbs 31, and this is what it says. In chapter 31 and beginning at verse 8. Merengus, speak up for people who cannot speak for themselves. Protect the rights of all who are helpless. Amen and amen. Got to protect those that are innocent among us. Got to take a stand. Got to protect those who can't speak up for themselves. We got a work to do in this life, my friends. And if we have breath in our lungs, then our work isn't over. We have more to do. God has more for us to do. He has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And part of that is protecting the innocent. Proverbs is wonderful because it just reminds you of the priorities in life and right and wrongs. Here's another couple of Proverbs for you. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. To be wise, you must first have reverence for the Lord. If you know the Holy One, you have understanding. Wisdom will add years to your life. Amen and amen. That's true. That is absolute truth, man. To be wise, you must first have reverence for the Lord. That's step number one. You don't know the Lord? Pause. Read His Word. Read the Proverbs. And learn that you need to have reverence for the Lord. Earlier in the Proverbs, in chapter 1, it says, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Understanding there's one, more greater and powerful than us. Here's a practical one for you before I get into a love verse and start the message. Practical one is about staying away from seductive people, all right, and being loyal to our spouses. This is what it says in Proverbs chapter 6, and verse 24. It talks about keeping away from seductive men and women, from the seductive words of others. Don't be tempted by them. Don't be trapped by their flirting eyes. And then it says, can you carry fire against your chest without burning your clothes? Let's not get burned. Avoid those seductive people. Just stay away from them. You can tell by the way that they're acting their intentions, okay? God put a brain in your head. Stay away from them. Let's be faithful to our spouses. God will bless our lives. And, you know, we're talking about how it's a Valentine's this past week, and, you know, so the message is it's all about love. And, you know, we've passed our 25th anniversary, so I'm no expert, but God's really, you know, blessed my life with a wonderful wife. And this much I will say, my friends, love is an investment. It's an investment of your time, and it's an investment of your life. And God will bless your life in your faithfulness. And one of the things that I do, and I encourage you to do it, I pray for my wife. Pray for those significant others in your life. In fact, I'll be honest with you, before I even met her, I was praying for her. I said, God, I know you have somebody for me in my life, and I'm going to pray for that person. And God, just, I want to thank you in advance for blessing them and for guiding us together. And if you're a young person and you don't have that significant person in your life, but you're thinking, hey, maybe someday, start praying for them. And make a determination to keep yourself, you know, live a life of purity and faithfulness until that time comes. And your life will be blessed. We shouldn't throw that love word out there just flippantly to anybody, right? Use it with intention, and use it because it's true, sincere love. And so I didn't use the love word with other people that I was meeting and dating and that kind of a thing. I'm like, I'm not going to use that word until I meet the one I'm going to marry. And that's the way I did it. Anyway, just a little bit of advice there from Brother Steve. Before we jump into the message, it's all about love. So now the greatest commandment is in Matthew chapter 22, when the person was questioning Jesus about the law. And they said, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said in Matthew 22:37, Jesus answered, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important. And the second most important commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law of Moses and the teachings of the prophets depends on these two commandments. My friends, this is why we're doing the message today, because sometimes we just got to be reminded, what's the most important thing? The most important thing, my friends, is loving God and loving others. And, you know, when we begin our day, we talked about starting our day on our knees. We begin our day, this should be the prayer of our hearts. We should pray, God, you know, if I don't accomplish anything else today, if there's nothing else that I get done on my to-do list, on my checklist, if there's nothing else that I accomplish today, then God, just let it be this, that I've learned to love you a little bit more, that I've shown my love for you a little bit more, God, and that I've shown my love to those in my life a little bit more by investing my time with them, God, by investing my time with you, by investing my time with them. If I don't accomplish anything else, God, help me to accomplish those things. That should be our prayer, my friends, in the name of Jesus Christ. Because my friends, here's the truth. That's what God put us here to do. It is all about relationships. Our relationship with the Lord and our relationship with those that the Lord has put into our life. That's what it's about. That's what life's about. You know, it's not about the checklists. It's not about the to-do lists. It's not about all the stuff at work, okay? It's not about any of those things. It's about loving the Lord and loving those that He's put in our life. That's the most important thing, my friends, and may that be the prayer of our lives. And I've just got some wonderful examples and testimonies here to share with you about loving it. So anyway, as we jump into the message here, that should be the thing that is the priority of our life. And I want to share with you a verse that basically points this out. If you go to Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1, you're like, Brother Steve, you know, tell me about this priority of love. Okay. Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1. Now, the prior chapter is called the love chapter, and it's known as the most famous definitive writing about love that's ever been written. Most definitive statements about love are right here in Corinthians. So I encourage you, if you want to do some Bible readings for the day, flip on over to Corinthians and read about love. You've heard some of these things. This is what it says. This is a group of passages. It's often read at weddings. And when I conduct weddings, I always love to read this set of passages. Corinthians 13, beginning at verse 4. Love is patient and kind. It is not jealous or conceited or proud. Love is not ill-mannered or selfish or irritable. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love is not happy with evil, but happy with the truth. Love never gives up. And its faith, hope, and patience never fail. Love is eternal. And then it talks a little bit more about all these different gifts and everything. But hey, the most important thing is love, is what it says at the end of the day. The most important thing is love. So number one, there's two main messages I hope to cover today. Number one is that the best use of our life is love. And number two, I'm going to spend some time on this one, the best expression of love is our time. The best expression of our love to God and our love to others is our time, my friends. And in fact, I love how Rick Warren says this. He says, love is a four-letter word, okay? And you know what that four letters are? T-I-M-E. Thought I was going to spell L-O-V-E. But the best expression of love is time. And love is a four-letter word, and this is what it is. T-I-M-E. Our time. When we show people their importance by spending time with them, my friends, we're making a huge, huge statement. Because time is the most valuable thing on this earth. It's extremely valuable. The average person has 25,511 days on planet Earth. Okay, somebody's done the math on this. 25,511. And when you spend that time with others, you're showing them what a big priority they are. Because the truth is, all of us have different amounts of money, okay? You might have different amounts of money in your wallet, different amounts of money in, you know, in your bank account or whatever. People have different amounts of stuff. They drive different kinds of cars, have different kinds of clothes, have different kinds of stuff in their homes, okay? We have different amounts of stuff, different amounts of money. You know, people have different, you know, levels of status kind of in society. But let me tell you what. We all got 24 hours in a day, right? We all got the same number of minutes to work with every single day. And it's precious. And it, the time is the part of our lives that we don't get back. And so we have to be, you know, very intentional about how we use this time. Because the reality is society gets so busy, okay? So busy. And Western society, you know, can be a very bad influence in Beilau in terms of the pace of society and the speed at which things are moving. We got to be very careful. We're not wasting our time, but that we're using our time in our relationships. Okay? The essence of our true relationships, the essence of our true relationships that really, really matter, when you boil it all down to its essence, the essence of our true relationships is how much of ourselves we give to others. Right? How much of ourselves do we give to others? Now, guys, and I'm going to say me included, it's taken me a lifetime to try to figure this out, but here's the truth here, guys. We just don't get it, all right? Guys, we just don't get it. You know, we'll say, hey, you know, I'm giving everything to, you know, provide for my family. You know, I'm giving everything to provide a home for my family. I'm, you know, giving everything to provide food on the table. And some of you might be saying this for yourselves. Yeah, you know, I'm putting a lot of energy into providing that home, a lot of energy in providing that food and paying for that gas. And, you know, and sometimes we ask ourselves, well, for the people in our lives, what more do they want? You know, what more do they want? Here's the truth, and it's convicting. But what they want is our time. What they want is our focused attention. You know, and I can just, you know, picture my kids when they were little, and it's like, Daddy, can you turn the TV off? Daddy, would you please put the newspaper down? Okay? Why do they say that? Why do they say, you know, please turn the TV off, or hey, can you put that down? Or they want your attention. Or if you're doing something on the smartphone, you know, they're coming up to you, they're tugging on you, you know. Well, why are they doing that? Well, the reality is they want you. All right? Because kids don't need things. They don't need another video game. They don't need another app with some, you know, some game on it, you know, for their handing them the smartphone. They don't need, you know, some other toy. They don't need that stuff, so to speak. There seems like there's plenty of stuff. What our kids need is our time. They need their parents. This is what the Bible says about it. The Bible says the only thing that counts is faith that expresses itself in love. The only thing that counts is faith that expresses itself in love. And my friends, we express that love by how we give our time. And it's all about relationships. Our relationship with the Lord, our relationships with those that the Lord has put into our life. There's an expert about stress, and his name is Dr. Richard Swenson. He's an expert, world-renowned expert, who studied stress and different things in life. And this is what Dr. Swenson said about time and about the speed at which things are moving in society that just seems to be robbing our time. So we're not giving it to the Lord. We're not giving it to others. This is what he says. The biggest problem in society is velocity. The speed of life is as much to blame as all the other social ills that are happening in society, impacting our relationships. He says, many families are being starved to death by velocity. I'm going to repeat that. Many families are being starved to death by velocity. We walk fast, talk fast, eat fast, and then we say, I've got to go now. Isn't that sad? What a sad indictment. You know, one of the things about it is, and this has been impacting Palau over the last several decades, is as, you know, tourism has really ramped up and, you know, people are coming in from various places. And Balao is a beautiful place. We have pristine Palau and we love our islands and they are very beautiful and we thank God for that. We have to preserve this environment, preserve this place for now and for future generations. That's all absolutely true. But one of the things that happens with the influx of the foreigners and, you know, with the Western thoughts and now the Far Eastern thoughts, many of these people that are coming on island are bringing with them a pace and a lifestyle that is much faster than life traditionally is in Palau. And with that speed and with that pace, what happens is our priorities of loving the Lord and loving those that are immediately in our family get put on the shelf as we invest ourselves into these careers and into these achievements and into the pace of society and paying for all the necessary stuff that comes with Western and Far Eastern, you know, society mindsets, right? You know, I've spent plenty of time in the big cities and been in Tokyo and recently in Seoul, Korea, and you just see the pace of life, okay? Or, you know, for that matter, you could say Los Angeles or somewhere in Honolulu or even in Guam and in downtown, and you see just the pace of life and how fast it is. And that has really spilled over into Palau. Taking away, we get caught up in this whirlwind of the pace of velocity, and then the loved ones in our lives are suffering, and we're not having time for our relationship with the Lord. In fact, a little story about this: my auntie married a man from off island. He was in the Peace Corps, so I have an uncle who was in the Peace Corps. He was in the Peace Corps decades ago. And so this is kind of, this relationship is half Palauan and half American. But anyway, he was in the Peace Corps in Micronesia. And this is what he said about life back then when he was growing up in California and finished his master's PhD in Hawaii. But this is what he said at that time. He said, back in the old days, this is what he said: everything in Palau is slow. That was his assessment after living life in California. He said, everything in Palau is slow. Well, you know what? Something's changed. All right? Something's changed. Because most people, many people, you know, unless you're living in one of the smaller places, perhaps in Babel Dab or you know, if you're still in Balilio or something, if you're a little bit more off, you know, a little bit more away from Koror, and you're, you know, a little bit, you know, more away from the busyness of things, most people are saying things need to slow down a little bit more, okay? It needs to be a little bit more like the old days, you know? Now people are trying to save up their money so they can go to a place where the pace is a little bit slower. Isn't that amazing? You know, there's something about just keeping things, you know, a little bit more traditional, keeping things, hey, at a little bit slower pace here. Because here's the truth. Satan is trying to rob our time. Satan is trying to rob our time by filling it up with all this other stuff, okay? So now people are asking themselves, how do I get, you know, more time for my family? How do I get more time for the Lord? How do I get more time for the things that matter most? Well, one of the things we can do is, here's the answer, turn off the TV or turn off the computer screen. So here's what Rick Warren shared about life in America, okay? Because I know a lot of Palauans going off island or visiting relatives over there. They said in the States, the average person spends 6 hours a day in front of the TV or a computer screen. Okay? 6 hours a day. That is 30 hours a week. That is 1,560 hours a year. In other words, if you turned on that screen, okay, on January 1st, you would be watching that screen 16 hours a day for 97 straight days. That's almost 100 days, okay? 16 hours a day, I mean, no eating, don't get away, you know, I guess you'd have to be doing it right in a bathroom probably, you know, to take care of business. 97 straight days, that's almost 100 straight days of just watching a screen, okay? You know, it's interesting, people will watch reruns of TV shows like Friends, okay, instead of spending time with their actual friends, instead of spending time with their loved ones, watching reruns of other people with their friendships. How ridiculous is that? Or hours and hours and hours watching these reality TV shows, okay? You know, being a spectator instead of living life, all right? Watching some reality show. You know what? In Baylau, there is so much life to be lived. There is so much life to be lived. You know, some of the things that I just love doing with my nieces and nephews and kids is, you know, going to some of the beautiful places around Baylau, the different waterfalls and hikes and swimming and spending time and playing games and playing tag and just enjoying life and cooking things together and just hanging out. Right? Just loving on others. And yes, one of the things I really love to do with my family and those loved ones is worshiping the Lord. Oh. To go into the Lord's house, to sing praises to the Lord. Just love to do it. It's so fulfilling. It's so energizing. It's so filling up your cup. All right? Because there's so many things in life that are going to drain our cups, all right? How about if we get filled up with the love of God, filled up with the priorities that really matter? And the priority that really matters, my friends, is loving the Lord and loving others. And we do that by expressing and spending our time with them, by spending our time with them. Love means never giving up. So here's some Bible verses for you. First one's from Ephesians. It says, live a life filled with love for others, following the example of Christ, who loved you and gave himself as a sacrifice for your sins. Amen and amen. My friends, you want to understand your purpose for life here? Read Ephesians chapter 1 through 3 and write down all the things that the Lord says about you, about who you are. You'll find out that God says he loves you. You'll find out that God says that that your life is to be filled with love, that God has forgiven you, that God has crowned you, that God has, as you accept him by faith, given you the gift of the Holy Spirit as a stamp and a seal, as a pledge, so that one day you will be accepted into the kingdom of God. Okay, that's the promise that you're going to be receiving all things. It's the sign that you are a child of God. All of this is in Ephesians. And it also says, live a life filled with love for others. And whose example are we to follow? The example of Christ, who loves you. And he gave himself as a sacrifice for your sins. So you can circle the word love there because God loves you so much. And then you can circle the word sacrifice. You see, those two words are very strongly connected, okay? True love isn't expressed itself in a to-do list or awards or achievements at work and all that kind of stuff. True love is expressed in sacrifice, in giving of ourselves, okay? Now, Christ gave himself his own life for our sins, and then he rose up and conquered death and hell, okay? the only one to live the perfect life and then to lay it down for the sins of all humanity, the only one that could, okay? So no other bodily sacrifice is needed for sins, etc., okay? Jesus paid that price, all right? But true love is expressed in giving of yourself to others, okay? Love means giving, giving of ourselves, giving of our time. I love this quote. It says, "You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving." Amen? You can give without loving. Some people might throw money at something, okay? They're not really, their heart isn't really into it. But you cannot love without giving. And the real giving we're talking about here, my friends, is our time. Because our time is the measure by how much we're really loving by giving of our time. And the truth is that most of us are in time-starved relationships. Us included, and those around us, we're all in time-starved relationships. We're starving for this time. There's a poem about an absentee father. I'm going to read this. And when I heard this poem, it reminded me of that song by Cat Stevens, "The Cats in the Cradles." But anyway, this is what this poem says about an absentee father. It says, "I have a son who's 5 years old, a boy so very fine. And when I look at him, it seems to me that all the world is mine. But seldom do I ever see my son awake and bright. I only see him when he sleeps. I'm only home at night. And when I finally make it home, and at the end of a weary day, my wife will turn and say to me, 'You should have seen him play.' And so I stand beside his bed, and I look and ponder there, and I wonder if he's dreaming. Why isn't Daddy here?" My friends, that little poem that I heard Rick Warren share is so very touching and convicting. And so I'm going to ask that we make a decision, okay? I'm going to ask that we make a decision. How about starting tomorrow morning, you and I begin our day, and we get on our knees, and we say, "That little poem about the absentee father or absentee parent, I don't want that to be me. I don't want that to be me. I don't want to live a life of regrets that way. So tomorrow morning, I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to say, 'God, if I don't get anything else done today, if I don't get anything else done on my to-do list and my checklist and all the things that I've got to do in my busy schedule, but if I don't get anything else done in this day, God, I just want to love you a little bit more. Pray to you a little bit more. And God, I just want to spend a little bit more time with the people that you put in my life to love. And the best expression of that love is my time. The best expression of that love is my time." You know, in John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world, he gave." He gave. Of course, he gave of his time, gave of his life. "He gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And what did Jesus do to show his love? He walked everywhere. Okay, in his ministry, he walked from this village to that village, stayed up late talking to people, healing them, spending time with them. He spent his time with people. He actually, you know, gave up, you know, his profession there, Okay, because I'm sure he was working hard, saving up money and providing for his family as a carpenter for many, many years. And then he put it on the shelf, okay? And he put worldly wealth and all those things on the shelf, okay? All the other worldly achievements he could have gotten by building up a savings account and what all those other things. And he spent time with people. Listening to people. Loving on people. And showing us how to love the Lord and how to love others. You know, someday, our time is going to come. Our average of 25,511 days is going to be over. And when that 25,511 days is going to be over, we're going to meet our Lord. We're going to stand before Him, okay? He's going to ask us a question when we're in heaven. When we get to heaven, He's going to ask us a question. And what do you think He's going to ask us? Okay? Well, He's not going to say, when we get to heaven, the Lord's not going to say, hey, tell me about your career. You know, tell me about those achievements that you had at work. Is He going to ask us that? Diak. So is God going to ask, hey, you know, tell me about your bank account. So how much money did you end up saving by, you know, how much money did you end up putting aside? Is that what the Lord's going to ask us? Diak. Is the Lord going to ask us about our bowling trophies or some kind of a awards that we've won? Hey, did you win that fishing derby? You know, is that what the Lord's going to ask us? Diak. This is what the Lord's going to ask us. He's going to say, did you do what I put you on earth to do? Did you do what I put you on earth to do? I shared with you in my word the most important priorities. Loving me with all your heart, might, mind, and strength, and loving others. It's all about relationships. It's all about your relationship with me and your relationship with those that I put in your life. So tell me about that. How did you spend your time on those things? Right? That's what's going to be what matters, my friends. And that's what matters now. So Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 is absolutely true. It says, let love be your highest priority. Let love be your highest priority. Loving the Lord, it tells us in Matthew 22, and loving others, all right? The best use of our life is love. And with that, I want to close with a story about a young man. And this is just a touching story, again, one that Rick Warren shared. And this man is from his local area. It was in an Orange County newspaper in Orange County. It's about a young man who went to Dana Hills High School. Really smart young man, too. Really smart young man. And so he had gotten fantastic grades. He was very active in school and just an outstanding student. And he got accepted into one of the hardest schools to get into in the States, Harvard. Okay, just well-renowned school, very famous school, very, very renowned school. And so he and his family, you know, were really saving hard for the deposit to hold, you know, to get into Harvard. And apparently he got accepted, but he had to have a deposit down to hold his spot. So they had saved up really hard. They'd saved up thousands of dollars, okay? And in the meantime, during the summertime, you know, before school was going to start, he went on a mission trip with Saddleback Church, which is where Rick Warren's the pastor, and went on a mission trip to Africa. And while he was in Africa, he got to visit a village, and they didn't have enough fresh water. They had a real problem. People were getting sick. They didn't have the fresh water that they needed, and his heart was really, really moved. And so his mission trip was coming to a close, and so he told the people, I don't know how this is going to get accomplished, but I'm going to come back and we're going to help find a solution, you know, to the fact that you don't have enough fresh water and people are getting sick. Or I'm going to come back and we're going to pray for a solution, you know. God will provide a way. And so he came back to the States and he started talking to people and finding out how they could raise money, what they could do to provide some a means for the people to have fresh water. And apparently there's different pumps and different things that can purify the water, but they needed those pumps and those cleaning supplies. They needed those water purification systems back in Africa, and they needed to raise money for it, and they just didn't have the money. And so finally he realized what he could do. So he told his parents and he said, I know what I can do to provide for them the fresh water that they need. And so they decided they would take the money that he had saved for Harvard to get into that school, to give up his spot there, and to give that money so the village in Africa could have purification for clean water, so they wouldn't be getting sick, so they wouldn't be getting, you know, those diseases, so the kids wouldn't be getting ill anymore, and the parents wouldn't be getting ill, so they could live their lives and have fresh water to drink. You know what he said? He said, you know, Harvard's not going anywhere. Okay, Harvard's not going anywhere. But those people, they need water now. My friends, the best time to love on others is now. The best time to love on the Lord and to cry out to the Lord is now. The best time to decide, you know, I'm going to change my priorities. I'm going to spend less time in front of the TV or in front of the computer screen. The best time to make that decision is now. Because the people around us are time starved. They are in time starved relationships. And they need us. And we need them. And we need the Lord. And the best expression of our love is our time. My friends, this has been Brother Steve on Palau Wave Radio with the message, It's All About Love. I want to close with this passage from Ephesians because the Lord expresses His love to us and loving us and giving Himself for us. And this is what it says in Ephesians as I wrap it up here on Palau Wave Radio. Live a life filled with love for others. And of course, as I've been saying, that love is expressed in our time. Following the example of Christ, who loved you and gave himself as a sacrifice for your sins. And my friends, I just pray this day and this week that God would richly bless you. Arubak lobunga mu. Arubak lobunga mu. Amen and amen.